Anybody hasn't read this article, I don't read it. This was brought to me by a mother of children. I think this is worth reading. Let me tell you why I'm talking about this article. 3/4 of this is inaccurate. It's fiction. And this article embarrasses me to be involved with athletics tremendously. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child and has never had a child that's had their heart broken and come home upset and had to deal with the child when he is upset and kick a person when he's down. Here's all that kid did. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. And he's a good kid. And he's not a professional athlete. And he doesn't deserve to be kicked when he's down. If you have a child someday, you'll understand how it feels. But you obviously don't have a child. I do. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat, and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. But you haven't had that. But someday you will. And when your child comes home, you'll understand. If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me. Or our coaches. Don't write it about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true.
Good morning, SEC. Oh my gosh. Down here on Fire Island, me and my boy. I'm waiting for Dabo. I'm looking for Billy. Where you at, Sam? We got coaches joining me left and right down here. Come on in. Pile on in. We've got a show for you. We're going to talk about some big news at Oklahoma. Some sad news. I led with Oklahoma news, but this is even worse for Sooner fans. And we got some coach comments. We also got schedules released, and I got those posted here. So we'll go through a few of those and... Man, I'm struggling, man. I don't know if you can tell, but this is a true Wednesday hangover, and I appreciate you guys being here with me. So let's get this party started. Come on in. Step right up. We're going to talk a little bit about MyBookie. If you get a chance to run over to MyBookie, use promo code SEC, you can get a free bet. I shouldn't say free bet. I should say a safe bet. What does that mean? That means if you use promo code SEC right now, you can place a wager up to $500. And if that wager loses, guess what? You get your money back. If you win, you get $500, up to $500 based on what you bet. Come on now. Tennessee legend coming through. Part of the reason why I'm struggling this morning. A little too much legend last night. Speaking of legends, JP. Where you at? You see me down at Tulsa. Got a screenshot. Down here, got Tennessee legend in the store. Come on, big cousin of the legend of the week. goes to JP. And if you do get to one of these Sevierville locations, be sure to let them know the cousin sent you. They also have one in Nashville. And if you don't have it sent like JP did. And as soon as it gets there, take a picture and send it to us, and you will be this week's Tennessee legend. Bad news. Out of Oklahoma, John Mateer. First, I thought this was clickbait. I didn't even see this one coming. John Mateer apparently has broke a bone in his hand and will need surgery. They're saying he's going to be out for approximately a month. What does that mean? That means let's look this upcoming schedule. We got a bye, right? We got Kent, October. There are speculations that he may be ready for Red River. Mike doesn't think that's going to be a possibility. And South Carolina. I feel like Ole Miss is the date they've got circled for John Mateer's return. They're at home. How does that change things? I feel like ultimately this is something you don't want to hear as a Sooner fan. But if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it during this bye week. You can't stay, and I don't think you're going to need John Mateer. I really feel like John Mateer will be needed for that Red River. However, even if you – and I'm not saying you're going to lose without John Mateer, but there's a few teams in this league that I feel like a quarterback is the most valuable part, and it's not in day – Sooners are not in day different now that John's out there. So if he's not – that game gets a lot more dicey. Love to have him back for that one, but definitely for the South Carolina game. So I'm not panicking if I'm a Sooner fan, but damn, you know, everything's going good, and then something like this happens. Maybe this will make you feel better.
All right, good afternoon. As you know, today we made the decision to part ways with Coach Gundy.
Huh? That help any? No? Okay. Well, Texas fans, speaking of Texas, Arch Manning was down here for a fundraiser and probably made one of the funniest jokes I've heard in a long time. This kid has a soul. I like it.
Saw the game last night.
Finally a good one.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, yeah. Kid said he finally saw the game last night, and Arch says, oh, finally, a good one. Speaking of funny, Mark Rick is also doing a fundraiser. They had a bye week down there in Georgia, and every year they have a bowling fundraiser for Parkinson's and Crohn's. And really, I mean, it seems like they have a really good time. I love the interaction with Coach Rick and Kirby Smart. But this right here, this little clip, it doesn't seem like much, but classic Georgia football right here.
Which is pretty cool. First thing I want to do is thank you, Coach, for allowing us to take this time and talk about the event, and also for you allowing your players in the middle of the season to do something like this. I know it can be a distraction, but that's why we tried the open day, right?
That's
so
right.
I knew enough to ask during the open day.
That's right. They love it.
Yeah. It's been amazing how much fun everybody has. I'm trying to get my papers straight, and they're orange, so excuse me, don't. Try not to get that on tape. All right, you talked about, yeah, exactly.
It's Coach Rick. Try not to get that orange on tape. And I don't know if you heard Kirby in the background. He says, at least it's not crimson. Big game this week between them, but also a big game between LSU Tigers and them Ole Miss Rebels. And I just thought there were some interesting comments coming out of this one, mainly from Lane. You know, Lane's always playing, he's always poor mouthing us, right? He's like, damn, we ain't got nothing. We can't afford nothing. We don't know how to do this portal. I don't know what to do with my hands. All this nonsense that comes out of Oxford, even though they're typically the ones leading in the portal race. But did take a couple stabs at Coach Kelly and his expensive defense down there.
LSU was one of those schools that spent some money in the portal. Do you see that? That it's helped their whole team, offense and defense. Kind of reference
portal DBs in the market. Coach Kelly's talked about that. Portal guys, three of the four secondary. And, you know.
What's kind of stuck out to you about that group?
Well, I think second year in a system defensively helps a lot of times. You know, and they've improved their personnel also. You know, you got three of the four starting D linemen are portal guys. Three of the four secondary D linemen are portal guys. So they've done a great job with that. They've heavily financially invested into the portal, and made that decision. That's no secret. Coach Kelly's talked about that, how much money they've spent, and it shows. Those are three guys that were heavily recruited and probably the three most expensive portal DBs in the market, and they got them all. So they did a great job with that, and now they're coaching.
Oh, man, technical issues already. But you know who's not having technical issues? Cousin JR. I say one good thing about Georgia, JR jumps on here, gives some membership to Dawson. Dawson, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, Cousin JR. But I hear, Kurt, I mean, that's going to be the theme, right? That's what we're all going to talk about, or at least that's what the Lane Kiffin camp's going to be talking about after this game is, well, if we had more money, we could afford a team like that. We could beat a team like that. And I was interested if Coach Kelly was ever asked any comments about this, and he was. Not so much about what Lane was talking about, but about these players. And I like the fact that Kelly doesn't run from it. Hell yeah, we bought some players.
Yeah, I mean, Jake has done a great job since he's been here. I mean, again, we're getting more experienced and veteran players on the field. And from a coaching standpoint, let's not overrate this. We've got better players. And those kids played hard for us last year. But these are really good players. And so Blake's a better defensive coordinator. Kevin Peoples is a better edge coach. We're all better. I'm a better coach because we haven't lost the game. All of these things have to do with your players ultimately are playing the game. And we're gonna have a process for them, and we're gonna coach them and teach them. We're tackling so much better, and obviously that's something that we work on. So I don't want to say it's all the players and the coaches have nothing to do with it, but you start there, and then you have an expectation to put those kids in a good position.
I love it. I don't know if you notice a thing, but it always seems like as soon as any other coach gets talked about on that campus, whoa, don't forget, I put money in the pot to get these boys down here. Don't forget, Coach Kelly did put a little of his own money down there for that recruiting process. So be sure to acknowledge the talent I've brought in. But this isn't the only funny little storyline to come out of this game. If you can't outspend them, well, then you send in a backup plan. Landry, Coach Kiffin's daughter's down there. Apparently Dayton, the linebacker for LSU. And Lane responds, take the over. Oh, I love it. I wish it was all rainbows and butterflies, but we got some doom and gloom coming your way. So prepare. Take you another shot of coffee. We had a couple of coaches. Listen, I don't like to pile on anybody that's having a bad time. I'm down here on Fire Island. I mean, it's not so bad down here. I mean, not only are we having fun, but we got all this extra money that we're going to be getting paid for the next few years. There's another coach that's kind of heading this way. He hasn't packed yet, but he's bought the tickets. You know what I'm saying? Sam's down here, and he was asked about the pressure that is on his shoulders about winning in Arkansas.
It may have affected us a little bit on Monday.
You mentioned the outside noise and everything. Obviously, you're in a high-pressure job, but yeah. Is there any added pressure for you with how things have shaped up these first couple weeks against Notre Dame?
You know, Trey, it'd be kind of hard to have more pressure. I mean, the pressure you put on yourself is obviously a lot because you want to do well for a lot of reasons. But I've kind of had this same type pressure for, I don't know, 3 years now, it seems like 40, but I think it's been about three. And
pressure. Sam ain't under pressure. Sam was under pressure. Now he's just playing with house money. You know, I truly feel like it. And he goes on to talk a little bit. I mean, Sam had a lot to talk about in this game. I mean, there's an opportunity. I want to show you something here. So if we look at Arkansas' schedule, you know, they lost two games. They really should be. And I hate to say ifs and buts, because if they were candies and nuts, we'd all have a wonderful Christmas, right? That's the saying. But if they would have those two possessions back, they'd be sitting there 4-0, and we would be saying Notre Dame is about to get beat. That's what we'd be saying, but we're not. They're just a one-score underdog in this matchup. We've seen Notre Dame. Newsflash, maybe Notre Dame's not good. They lost to Miami, lost to Texas A&M. Why can't they lose to Arkansas at home? I feel like it's very possible. And what does it change? Does it change the outcome? I don't think it technically buys Sam more time. Well, I won't say that. I don't think it extends his contract, but I do think that it extends his time down there in Arkansas. You beat Notre Dame, you get a bye, you play a Tennessee team that you beat last year, an A&M team. I'm not completely giving up on the Razorbacks, because even Coach made the comment, I don't have it on here, but he says, it's not like we got beat by 100 points. We lost by a score. And that's the problem. That's why we're giving Sam such a hard time, because he can't win those one possession games. But he's right. They didn't get blown out. They're right there in the mix with all these teams. And I feel like Memphis is a good football team. Shit, they reminded us 1,000 times that they're probably going to be in the college football playoffs, getting knocked out by an SEC team, I would imagine. And Ole Miss. Shit, Ole Miss undefeated. We won't talk about how good they are going in the LSU game, but, you know, we'd be singing a different tune if Arkansas would have walked away, if, you know, a couple more breaks would have went their way. So I'm not completely out on Arkansas, but I got him a seat next to me for a reason. Oh, speaking of fired coaches, just kidding, Beamer, calm down. I'm not saying you're a fired coach, but maybe your coordinator should be, because that's a question that was asked yesterday.
Kind of going back to the good with the offense, what are the big takeaways you have about the offensive play calling on Saturday? And then what would you kind of say to the fans that feel like the offensive play calling is one of the bigger issues for this team right now?
I thought it was, you know, look, when you don't win the game, the play calling's not good enough and the coaching's not good enough, because ultimately that's what we're judged on. When you look around the country, when you lose a football game, the guy that gets the blame is the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and then the quarterback usually. I mean, that's just the way it is. NFL, college, high school, that's just what you sign up for. You know, the plan that we're putting together, I'm in all the offensive and defensive meetings during the week, special teams meetings. I know what the game plan is. I know why plays are in the game plan. I know why we're calling it, just like there's decisions every game that I look back and wish that maybe I had done differently, or plays that players would like to have back. There's plays that I'm sure Mike would like to have back. I don't know which play calls you're referring to or which one fans are.
Just in general with the offense, how you felt about how Saturday went.
I thought it was fine. I mean, I'm sure there's plays that Mike would like to have back. I mean, yeah, when you're on the 2-yard line and we take a 20-yard sack, hindsight 2020 says, you should have run the ball there. But I'm on the headphones, and if I didn't like the opportunity, we're going to run the ball. We're gonna have four plays to score right there, and we just hit a big play down there to the 2-yard line. Let's, you know, you got to play action, and then we can come back and run it three times if we want to. So every play call that's made, I hear it. If I have an issue with something, I will certainly address it. But ultimately, when you don't win the game, it's not good enough. Anything, offense, defense, and special teams.
Mm-mm-mm. It's 7:49, and South Carolina still sucks at running the football. I mean, I get where Beamer's coming from, and there's a whole bunch of running back talk and rushing it. I mean, why is Lenoris not running anymore? You know, we just had last week a conspiracy about them trying not to. I mean, because we all have that image in our mind of him just completely taking over that Clemson game last year, right? That's what we signed up for. That's what we thought we were going to get. When we put a little asterisk beside his name talking about a Heisman candidate, we didn't do it just because of his arm. His arm's great. But what makes Lenoris different than everyone else is his running capability. And there's none of it. Is absolutely none of it. He had some great throws in this Mizzou game. In fact, I don't want to dog too hard on the South Carolina Gamecocks, because there were moments in that game, even though they had 14 penalties, even though they negative 9 yards rushing, they were still hanging in there on the road and had an opportunity to win and blew it, you know. So I'm not taking away from Mizzou, but I'm just pointing out the fact that South Carolina were piling on them because they got two losses now in a row, and you could see it in Coach Beamer's face, but there is a problem, right? We're 4 weeks in and we're still not running the football. He goes on to talk about people can't run the SEC, but then he's reminded that Mizzou just did 300 yards against their ass last week. So people are running in the SEC. It's just you're not. So ultimately that's going to come down to the coaching, right? They got to get coached up better, and I feel like you got to let Lenoris go. Let him loose, because at the end of the day, if South Carolina, I mean, their schedule, they're 2-2. I think that's the biggest concern with South Carolina is the fact that you lost to Vanderbilt and Missouri, and now you're going to Kentucky and have this bye week. But after that, you've got an LSU team, Oklahoma team that may have Mateer back, Bama, Ole Miss, A&M. I mean, you aren't into the heart of the schedule yet, and you're already stumbling out of the gates. And I feel like that's the concern. So I'm not, again, taking away from Mizzou, and I'm not taking away from Vanderbilt, because those teams are playing out of their damn minds right now. But if you're coming from Columbia camp, you're looking at this saying, damn, what are we doing? What's going on here? And then your coach coming out here and saying, well, I had the opportunity to turn that play down. Whatever. Come on. Shula, be better. All right. I think that's pretty much it with the coach comments. Yeah. Let's jump into this scheduling. So yesterday, I mean, what a big news day, right? Tuesday, we got the Lowe report that comes out. That's a confirmation that Chris Lowe was a day ahead of everybody. And then we got the schedule release, which I thought was really cool. And of course, John Mateer news. There was just a lot at us yesterday. But want to kind of go through these real quick before we get off here. Alabama, 26 schedule. Now, obviously, they're going to have their permanent games. Alabama is going to have Tennessee, Auburn, and not LSU, even though they're on the schedule, but can't remember right offhand. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What matters is in 2026, they're going to have Auburn, Georgia. So having another Alabama-Georgia game, I'm here for it. And South Carolina A&M. On the road, they got Mississippi State. They got – oh, so Mississippi State will be it because they're so close. Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, and Vanderbilt on the road. So any quick thoughts for Alabama? Well, for me, it's the Georgia. Just getting another year of that game. I think that's going to be exciting. Plus, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they kind of nailed the permanent rivalries here. This is something I talked about in the offseason. I think, obviously, you're going to keep Iron Bowl. You want to keep Tennessee third Saturday in October. But giving them that Mississippi State game as well, I think that's going to be – I think that's a good win. Arkansas, they've got – we'll just talk 26. You can see the other years here. But Arkansas is going to have Georgia, LSU, Mizzou, South Carolina, Tennessee. And then they're going to go on the road to Auburn, Texas, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. What stands out for me in Arkansas is just the fact that we've got Mizzou on there, right? This is one that Missouri fans wanted. This is one's Arkansas fans didn't recognize, but now you are listed as permanent rivals. I love this. I felt like Texas was a no-brainer as well. So getting LSU, one of the tougher ones, not going to lie. This is one of the tougher three-team draws, but some of the things I'm looking forward to next year will be the road games. Auburn, Texas, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, I believe all those are going to be top 25 teams. So there is no easy schedule, because you're going to see, even with Auburn here, Auburn's going to have Bama, Georgia, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Tennessee on the road. And then at home, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and Vanderbilt. Me and Mike, we were going through this yesterday, and we're like, okay, I don't know about Mike, but I kept waiting to say, okay, there's the easiest schedule. All right, there's the hardest schedule. But it's like every single one of them is just as daunting. Now that we've added an SEC matchup, we're not even talking about the non-conference games, but you're going to have nine electric Saturdays next year. And you're going to have three. And I feel like they're going to squeeze in some really good games in there as well. But you think we got a lot of content this season. Golly, next year. This is when you buy season tickets. If you've been holding out and you're like, damn, I don't know if I want to buy them. Well, maybe not for Auburn fans, but let's go to LSU. Who they got at home? Alabama, Mississippi State, Texas. Okay, so that was a rough time. Oh, Texas A&M. I'll give them that one. So that one's going to be – this is the time to buy your season tickets if you're, like, on the fence. Well, yeah, now you got nine games. Of course, I'm sure the ADs are already two steps ahead of me when they raise the prices. But I do think that there's some epic matchups. The one thing that I do see here that – kind of sucks. A lot of people were hoping that LSU would get Alabama as a permanent rival. They did put them there in 2026, so we're going to get at least one more year of that. But it's going to be kind of wild, that game going away. Mizzou, we talked already about Arkansas being on there, but talk about a home slate in 26, man. I feel like we talk about Tennessee, we talk about Mizzou and Ole Miss, even Texas having some of these cupcake schedules, if you will, quote unquote, in 24. Well, not in 26. 26, Mizzou's going to have Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Texas, A&M. Oh, and you're going on the road to play Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and an upcoming Mississippi State. So, yes, I feel like the cupcake. Now you can be in the other camp saying, man, they really screwed us in the scheduling. Mississippi State, you got some great games as well. Not a lot of road games, but there are dynamite road games. LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Texas. Very, very losable games, obviously. But Mississippi State did not get any favors. Kind of surprised they didn't get a little bit of an easier look based on their tough schedules. Ole Miss, they're going to have 26. They'll have LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, Georgia, and Mizzou at home. On the road, they're going to go Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, Vanderbilt. One thing that stands out for me is 2027. If you'll notice down there on the away column, guess where they're going? Tennessee, get your golf balls ready. Lane Kiffin's coming back to Knoxville. Oh, goodness. Oklahoma, they're going to have 26. They're going to have Kentucky, Ole Miss, South Carolina, A&M at home. And then on the road, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Mizzou. I thought the Mizzou permanent rival was interesting, right? The Ole Miss, you know, the president, I think it was the president or AD, one of those guys came out earlier this week, and he talked about proximity, and it makes sense. You know, you're trying to pick teams that are closer, so I don't necessarily view Ole Miss or Mizzou. Well, I won't say Mizzou because I like that because I was there the last time they played, and it's going to be exciting this year that they play, but that Ole Miss one is probably not one that we're thinking about, but all it takes is one good game, and then all of a sudden you hate that team, right? I mean, we've all been there. Texas still got off with an easy one, if you ask me. They got Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss at home. Away, they've got LSU, Mizzou, Texas A&M, Tennessee. I'm just kidding. Now, I've just given them Longhorn fans a hard time. You're going to have a tough one. Same thing with Texas A&M. I do like this schedule. I think this one's, you know, if you're a season ticket holder and you get a chance to watch Tennessee come home, Arkansas, Texas, come on now. I'm in for it. Florida, we're going to have Oklahoma, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Vanderbilt at home. Away, we'll have Auburn, Kentucky, Mizzou, and Texas. Now, Georgia game will still be neutral site. They're going to have one in Atlanta next year in Tampa. And then I think they're going to be back in Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken. So that one's going to be fun. You know, I can't wait to see which coach is going to be representing that schedule. Georgia, Auburn, Florida, South Carolina, Mizzou, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Bama, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. First thoughts here. Nothing really. I mean, I feel like this is kind of middle of the pack, but I feel like Kirby's not going to be too mad at Sankey over this one, right? Kentucky, going to have Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Bama, LSU, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, A&M, and Oklahoma. We're going to close out the last two here. South Carolina, permanents, Georgia, Kentucky, Florida. Big thought here. I feel like South Carolina kind of got screwed a little bit on the permanents. I get the Georgia, but and the Kentucky. I mean, we're going to be talking about that game this week, but I feel like South Carolina should have kept Mizzou. Man, that game's always fun. It always will be fun. So I get it. It's not close. The proximity makes no sense. But yeah, if I'm picking a team that kind of got screwed in the permanent section, I'm going to go with South Carolina. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Kentucky. And then, of course, the powerhouse, the dominant, the Tennessee Volunteers. They really got screwed here with Kentucky and Vanderbilt as permanent rivalries, but they did get to maintain the Alabama one, so that's awesome. 26, we'll have the Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Texas. Golly! Oh, man. Hide this from our AD because they're about to raise the price. Bama, Auburn. I mean, it's fun having Tennessee. Auburn used to be a serious rival, so I hope that fires back up. But having Alabama, Auburn, LSU, and Texas at home, oh buddy. Ooh. Hey, I'm running late. Won't get off here. Did I miss any good comments? Of course I did. There's 5,000 of them. Matt, thank you, cuz. Appreciate you for the donation. That is going to get me through the day. That's going to get me a pretty good lunch. What are we eating for lunch today? I don't know. Mike hates Chick-fil-A all of a sudden, so maybe that's what I'll do. But cousins, I appreciate everybody hanging out with us this morning. Hopefully I got you 30 minutes closer to clocking out. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And if you don't, I apologize. You must be a... Who would you be, a Sooner fan right now? I don't think they're okay. I mean, that's one thing I like about Oklahoma is they got decent backup. I shouldn't say decent. I think they got an electric backup that's getting the opportunity to grow. So maybe they're going to have quarterback controversy. Huh? There's a positive spin. Anyway, y'all have a wonderful day.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.